The United Nations says more than 2,500 people died in the Mediterranean Sea this year while trying to reach Europe. Those that survive the journey on smugglers' boats mostly arrive on Italy's shores, where a fierce political debate over migration makes their future far from easy or certain. NPR's Ruth Sherlock joined a rescue ship run by the charity Doctors Without Borders.
It's 2 a.m. and the team on the rescue ship, the MV Geobarance, has just spotted a small boat in distress. The migrants on board have used the light of their phones to attract attention. Rescuers from Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, move in to help. It's pitch dark. We're in the Mediterranean Sea, about 50 miles off the coast of Libya, and the small fishing boat is so packed with people that if anyone panics or moves too quickly, it could capsize.
Come there.
Somebody warns, there's a baby amid the crush.
Team approaching boat landing.
MSF do manage to get everybody safely on board the Geobarance. And then, hours later, there's a second boat. By morning, the team has saved 258 people, among them are families and even children making the journey to Europe alone.
Now I'm 16. When I was in Libya, I was 15.
As this boy is still young, we'll protect his identity. He's a whip-smart kid who's taught himself near-perfect English by watching American movies. He grew up in the civil war in Syria, and as the oldest of three siblings, he says, he always felt responsible for his family.
Their life was not safe, so that's why I left Syria, to help my family and to bring them to Europe.
At 13, he started saving money. Then last year, at 15, he went to Damascus Airport and boarded a plane alone to Libya, another country at war. There, he paid a smuggler to cross the Mediterranean. But the boat was caught by the Libyan Coast Guard, which is supported by the European Union to stop this migration. The Coast Guard are notoriously violent.
They were shooting on us, around the boat, hitting the boat for two times. They were trying to follow us on the sea.
He and the others on board were taken back to Libya, to a detention center.
The police there was hitting me. Give me your dollars. I don't have a dollar, sir. Hitting me. Give me your dollars. He thought if he hitting me a lot, I would like make a dollar from nothing. I don't know.
He says he was barely given any food and the drinking water was salty. And when he fell ill, there was no doctor.
No one was kind. No one was kind.
After you got out that first time, you could have gone home.
Actually, yeah. I could. I thought about going back to Syria, but if I get back to Syria, I will lose my future and my family's future.
He says in the year he spent in Libya, he was thrown into detention four times and made five attempts to cross the Mediterranean Sea. Rescued with him from the smuggler's boat are two women I also meet on the MV Geobarance, Aya and Reem Al-Sakr, cousins from Syria who've shown this same determination to reach Europe.
Hi.
They're making this journey with Aya's four children, aged between 6 and just 10 months old. Reem Al-Sakr says they decided to leave Syria after both their husbands were killed in the war. Aya was pregnant with her youngest at the time. They sold their homes and jewelry and flew to Libya with the children. They spent 6 months in a rented apartment searching for a smuggler to get them to Europe. At one point, Aya says, she and the children and Reem were kidnapped for ransom by a minibus driver, along with other Syrians.
They demanded money from us or said they'd kill us. They beat the men and said awful things to the women and scared the children with weapons.
When the kidnappers told Reem to call a relative who could pay a ransom, she took a huge risk, calling the Libyan police instead. And in this case, the authorities intervened. I meet them on their second attempt to cross to Europe.
On the boat, there was dizziness and vomiting and fatigue. The children were sick too. It was hot in the day and cold at night.
And then the engine cut. Drifting in the darkness, without a satellite phone to call for help, they and the 16-year-old Syrian boy could have joined the more than 2,500 migrants who've died in the Mediterranean this year.
We were thinking, if we're yelling or screaming, who will hear us?
But on this night, they were spotted by the MSF team on the MV Geo Barents.
It was the best time in my life. I started crying because I made it, you know? 4 hours before, we were thinking about dying.
The night before we dock in Italy, the Al Sakr cousins play music on a small speaker that's shaped like a disco ball and flashes lights. It's the one possession they've made sure to keep during their long journey as a distraction for the children. It becomes a party with dancing and singing. A moment of light relief after so much trauma. And the next day, at the Italian port of Salerno, I say goodbye to Reem and Aya Al-Sakr and her children. She's so, so, so happy to be here, Aya says. They're met by the Italian authorities and the Italian Red Cross and taken to a processing centre. The rescued migrants hope this is the start of a new life. But the next day, by the train station, I see many of the migrants again, and they look lost and in shock.
I'm at the station in Salerno, and in the small square in front of the station, there was about 80 to 100 of the guys who were on the MSF ship, and they've spent the night here, and they've all received expulsion orders from Italy.
Don Antonio is a priest with the Catholic charity Caritas. He says many told him they simply didn't understand what was happening, and that after being handed these expulsion papers, the migrants were left outside the gate of the local government building, miles out of town. Many didn't have money or even a phone. The Caritas volunteers bring the migrants to speak with a lawyer. The expulsion documents claim the migrants opted not to request asylum in Italy. But many here tell the lawyer that there was no proper translation, so they didn't know what they were signing. And now, after all they've been through, they risk being deported back to their home country or detained in Italy. As for Reem and Aya Al-Sakr and the children, and the 16-year-old Syrian boy who travelled alone to Europe, they've slipped away, on trains bound northward. I couldn't reach the whip-smart boy with fluent English. His plan was to join relatives in Ireland. But I did track down Aya Al-Sakr. She tells me she and the children have made it to Germany. Her parents live there, and this is the first time they've met their four grandchildren. She says there were tears of joy. She's claimed asylum there, and she and the children are now living in a government centre while their papers are processed. She doesn't know how long this will take, maybe over a year. It can be hard living in the centre, she says, but at least she's brought her children to safety. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Rome.